Majority Report with Sam Cedar, where every day's casual Friday. That means Monday is casual Monday. Tuesday, casual Tuesday. Wednesday, casual hump day. Thursday, casual Thurs. That's what we call it. And Friday, casual Shabbat. The Majority Report with Sam Cedar.
It is Friday, June 26, 2020. My name is Sam Cedar. This is the five-time award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live steps and steps and steps from the industrially ravaged Gowanus Canal in the heartland of America, downtown Brooklyn, USA. On the program today, Heather Parton, or Digby, from the blog Hullabaloo, and the website Salon.com. Also on the program, from some cartoons, H. John Benjamin. Whatever. Also, Texas walks it back. Shutting the bars again as coronavirus surges across the Southwest. The White House is even, for whatever reason, having one of those task force press conferences today, even though they had more or less disbanded the task force. Supreme Court slams the door on asylum seekers. Democrats pass a police reform bill in the House, and a vote today will happen on D.C. statehood. Donald Trump tries again to get the Supreme Court to overturn the Affordable Care Act. And multiple studies show conservative media drives an increase in coronavirus infections. Meanwhile, it's reported Bill Barr wanted Berman out at the Southern District of New York because he refused to undercut Michael Cohen's conviction. Joe Biden lead widening across both swing and now some reddish states. One third of Black Americans now know someone who has died of COVID-19. And the Minnesota Attorney General Keith Ellison suing Exxon, Coke, and the American Petroleum Institute for climate change fraud. All this and more on today's program, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us. It is a casual Friday. I am wearing my soft colored shirt. Glad you could make it. We should have some fun today as, I should say this. Let me start off by saying this. And we're going to do some shows, hopefully in the near term, on the prospect of returning to school in September and how people are going to go about doing that, whether it's elementary school, high school, higher education, and the failure of the leadership of our federal government and Betsy DeVos and to do anything to make this transition or to deal with the virus in any way to make it easier for students, other than I think she's subsidizing private schools. I say this because today, for many students around the country, is the last day of school. And I know this because it is the official last day of school for my daughter and my son, Saul. And I wanted to do a special message for those elementary school kids, and particularly Saul Cedar, to congratulate them on finishing their first grade. Now, there's some question as to whether they are now second graders, but I don't think you'd say that you're a no grader. So, yes, my son Saul is now a second grader. And I want to give him congratulations. Listen, it was very difficult particularly for elementary school kids to finish out the school year. Very difficult. Parents working. They're not, you know, doing as much as we would want to help the kids. So the kids had to do a lot of stuff on their own. Very difficult, very challenging. And so I'm going to give Saul and all elementary school kids a shofar to congratulate them from matriculating, which is another word of for saying sort of graduating, but not quite. So Saul, this is for you and for all the other kids out there who have matriculated. You guys should be very proud of yourself. You worked hard. It was a very tricky situation. And make sure you read books over the summer. That's very important to do. Also, a little more house cleaning here. Our very own Kyle, who has made all of this possible. He has created an amazing tech setup for our show. I don't know if people realize this, but we have a custom built sort of Zoom system that Kyle built. He is working on all sorts of projects. And for any of you who are coders or interested in any of that, keep an eye on what Kyle is doing. But he has a special request. He's doing a lot of phone banking for Jess Grain in her race against Chris Coons for the Senate seat in Delaware. And you can help out by phone banking. He will hook you up. Email him at kyle@fans.fm. Maybe put in the subject line, phone banking. Jess Grain would be an immeasurable improvement over Chris Coons. And you can already see the guy is getting a little bit nervous about this. This is why he's talking about the filibuster and whatnot. So, check out that. Also, just wanted to say to my daughter, who is in high school, has finished out ninth grade. So this one goes out to all the high school students and middle school, but particularly my favorite high school student. That would be Myla Cedar. Myla, good job. Very impressive. Myla has taught herself to sew, to bake. She's exercising on a regular basis. I think she even may have read a couple of pages of a book. So congratulations, Myla. Welcome to 10th grade. Holy cow. All right. So you may have noticed that I am in good spirits. Why? Because I got a good night's sleep last night. How did that happen, you ask? Because that never can happen for you, Sam. It is Sunset Lake CBD, their tincture. Sometimes I go to the 750 mil. Sometimes I go to the 1500 mil. Doesn't matter. Both of them are incredibly effective. I take a little bit less of the 1500 mil. But the Sunset Lake CBD is grown on a farm outside of Burlington, Vermont. It's a farm that started as a dairy farm. They were providing milk for Ben and Jerry's. 2018, they started to diversify. They grow their hemp 100% pesticide free. They only use organic fertilizers. You can go on their website and see their certification, third party test results for all their products over at sunsetlakecbd.com. They're a great company who their minimum wage, $15 an hour. Minimum wage, $15 an hour. They are largely employee-owned, majority of the company owned by employees. They sell smokable cannabis, which Matt can talk about in a moment. They do pre-rolls, but if you don't like to smoke, they have the tincture, which I've mentioned. They have coffee infused with CBD. They have topical salves, beeswax, and arnica that are good for massaging muscles and joints. And they have gummies. and I got my first try of the gummies. Now, this is going to be a problem for me because they're delicious. And Brendan knows you can't put sweets around me because I eat too much of them. But check out their gummies. I got the 500 mil, but they now have introduced 100 megagrams, I should say, of their sour bear gummy bears. And it's a great deal in terms of cash per gummy, in terms of cash per CBD. So check that out. Matt, why don't you do your plug for the smokables? Because I know there's skeptics out there, and there's a ton of varieties they have. My sister's into the lifter.
Yeah, I have some lifter right here. It's about gone, actually, but they have also product lines I wasn't familiar with. I just got a new stash of special sauce smalls, which are nice little tiny nugs that go right into the grinder easily. So I appreciate that. So a lot of innovation going on up there at Sunset Lake CBD.
And if you go to sunsetlakecbd.com and you put in the offer code LEFTISBEST, you're going to get 20% off your order. sunsetlakecbd.com, LEFTISBEST, 20% off your order. Check it out. All right, let's take not quite. So, I'm going to be talking to Digby about this because it's sort of stunning what's going on in this country in terms of the pandemic. I mean, obviously, we got a lot going on in terms of the DOJ. We'll talk a little bit about the election, and we had the elections this week. But there is an entire political ideology that is intertwined with conspiracy theories and some type of, like, I don't know, cultural signifier about masks. And in California, I just saw that 25% of the infections in California, and California is now like in the midst of an explosion of infections, 25% of those have come in the last 2 weeks. So we've been living with this now for 3.5 months, you know, since the shutdown. 25% of the infections have come in the last 2 weeks. And this clip gives you a sense of why. What number is this, Brandon?
This is number 10.
Number 10. Okay, so this is a compilation of... Oh, is this in Florida?
Yes.
Oh, I thought this was in California. Well, I imagine there's quite a bit about this going on in California as well, actually. It's going all through these states that are exploding. This is in Florida. But I think it gives you an indication of basically what's happening. Because in parts of Southern California, in Orange County, they're not doing masks. They just don't believe in it.
It's Florida West.
What's that? Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Here is a compilation of Palm Beach County, Florida residents who are giving their public comments about wearing a mask. It's nuts.
You literally cannot mandate somebody to wear a mask knowing that that mask is killing people. It literally is killing people. And we the people are waking up, and we know what citizens' arrest is, because citizens' arrests are already happening. Okay. And every single one of you that are obeying the devil's laws are going to be arrested. And you, doctor, are going to be arrested for crimes against humanity.
The problem with humanity today is ignorance, arrogance, and apathy. Keep taking the road of least resistance. Keep listening to the TV brainwashing you from birth.
And they want to throw God's wonderful breathing system out the door. You're all turning your backs on it.
Doctor, I really have many question marks about your degrees and what you really know. I'm sorry, ma'am, but I don't think that you are worthy of your credentials. And I would ask suggestively that you go back to school and get educated.
Ma'am. Ask suggestively?
You can ask suggestively. You can also have question marks as to, you know, things that are going on.
Yeah, I get a lot of question marks. This is the dynamic that's happening. I mean, this is, you know, and there is a, you know, this is not just QAnon style. This is like sophisticated anti-vaxxer style stuff that's going on, but it's also a function of like this cultural signification. Here is Oregon, a sheriff in Oregon. Is this Washington State? Sorry.
Yeah, Southwest Washington State, Lewis County.
Southwest Washington State. And Inslee has basically said, you know, we got to do masks. And here is a sheriff. And we're starting to see this a lot with sheriffs. Remember, you know, the stories of like, of Governor LaPage up in Maine. And, you know, there was a lot of these sort of like Tea Party types were going in, the sovereign citizens, saying that it's really the sheriff that has all of the power. The sheriffs have all of the power in these, you know, the counties are the seat of all the power. And they seem to be trying to assert that. And here is this sheriff. I can't find what number this is.
It's 13.
Yeah, number 13. This is Sheriff Robert Snaza in Southwest Washington State. Here's his response to Governor Jay Inslee's mask order.
In case you guys didn't hear, Governor Inslee, in his infinite wisdom, has decided after over 100 some odd days that we should all wear face masks inside and out. Here's what I say. Don't be a sheep.
You're supposed to do something about it. I think you probably know my board. I'm going to go up and support him.
Thanks, Rob. Good to see you again, Rob.
Yes, good to see you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey,
how
are you doing?
Good.
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 Thank you.
Hey. I heard Matt say, Jesus. We'll talk to Doug Digby about it more, but I mean, this is, you know, it's crazy. First off, I noticed a lot of old people,
a lot of gray goatees,
And, you know, that sheriff, he's an elected official and he's got to, he knows his people. He knows his chickens, as they say. And they're all excited. Like, you're a sheep if you wear a mask. I mean, this is
getting through Corona like getting through the Depression or something like that? Like, will they be able to, are they hoping to have like a war story for like having a very like comfortable existence their entire lives or something? I just can't get into it. I don't know.
I mean, that's really the question is, you know, what is the inspiration for this? You know, what is driving this? Because it's an outside force, right? And you would imagine that responding to it in some way, they just cannot stand the collective action. It's bizarre. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to be talking to Digby from the blog Hullabaloo, or you may know her as Heather Parton from Salon.com. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back.
We are back. Sam Seder on the Majority Report. On the phone is someone who, even in the midst of a pandemic, deserves her opening song. Do you not have it? You guys have it? Guys?
Matt says he's sharing Matt. Sound, but it does not seem to be sharing sound.
Who's not? What? Matt? What happened?
I got to do some acapella here, maybe.
Go ahead. Brendan will sing it.
Oh, wait. You couldn't hear that? Sorry. I was playing it just to myself. Sorry.
It looks like Matt has been hitting the CBD again.
I have it. Right.
Those gummies are strong, man.
Yeah. 1,000 meg. So what are we doing, Matt? Are you going to play it or are you just...
Yeah, hold on. Give me just
it's cool,
once.
Man. It's cool.
Hey, I'm hearing it, even though, you know, it's like in my head. So it's awesome.
Okay. Just give me another 10 seconds here.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
Okay.
This is... Okay. Whoa.
It's Friday.
It is casual Friday, folks. Everybody's on the brink.
Oh, how about it's this? Not here. I'm sorry.
Are you ready? Oh,
how about I can't share it.
I'm losing it, bro. I'm losing it, bro.
Digby, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
I apologize for Matt for, you know, not having the song. It's his fault.
I'm losing it, bro.
He's losing it a little bit.
Are you ready for some Digby?
There we go.
Yeah. Are you Matt ready
determined.
For some
Digby? There was no way he wasn't going to play that.
Digby, yeah.
I'm losing it, bro.
And a bit of hope.
All right, there we go.
Well worth waiting for.
Yeah, absolutely. Heather Parton, I hope you're well. California, 25% of its total infections have happened in the last 2 weeks.
Yep.
What's going on there?
Well, you know, I mean, I can only judge by what I've seen in my own neighborhood. I live in Santa Monica. And, you know, I think back, do you remember, I think it was around Memorial Day, they started to open up California, and there were a bunch of pictures of people lining up, or no, it was Mother's Day. They were lining up at the Flower Mart downtown to get flowers for their mothers, and you could see, you know, they're all no social distancing. Everybody was closer together. Well, it's kind of been like that. From the moment that they said you could open up, there has been a, you know, a significant minority of people, if not a majority, who just went, yeah, we're back, baby, and we don't have to worry. And, you know, I saw it in my own neighborhood where people just stopped wearing masks. They had been, and then they just stopped. And I'm thinking, you know, what do you think here? Just because Eric Garcetti, the mayor, says that we can open up here, that means that the virus has disappeared? What, you nuts? But I really think that that's what happened. And, you know, who knows? I mean, we don't know about the protests. There were a lot of that. We don't know yet how significant that was, if at all. I mean, there's some indications one way or the other. And of course, you know, it's restaurants and bars. I mean, the minute they open those up, people raced in crowds, shoulder to shoulder, breathing all over each other for hours. And, it, you know, it just stands to reason that there would be a spike the minute that that happens. I mean, I don't pretend to understand this. Now, from what I understand in California, I don't know if people really care about California, but I'll give some detail. The major part of the major spikes have come from just four counties, suburban counties in Southern California. It's Orange County, Ventura County, Riverside, and San Bernardino, all of which are conservative counties. By comparison to any, you know, it's California, so they're, you know, it's not like it's Alabama or anything, but it's definitely conservative. And Orange County in particular, in fact, they ran off the health commissioner there, the head of the public health agency, with death threats. She's, you know,
right.
Been a half a dozen of them that have had to quit because they've been threatened for giving the bad news, the killing the messenger. And she was one of them. And so she quit. And I don't know if you saw, there were some hearings. I heard that you showed, you played some of that, you know, very disturbed woman down in Florida, equally disturbed women in Orange County about 2 weeks ago over the mask issue. Same exact thing. saying this really loony QAnon level conspiracy theory stuff about, you know, and screaming at the top of their lungs about how you will not, you know, I will have my freedom and you're trying to kill me and, you know, just weird. So there's something in the subculture of the right wing on masks that goes just beyond, hey, I love Donald Trump and, you know, I'm not going to be a sheeple. I mean, that's part of it, of course, but there's something else too. There's something in the deep, dark, you know, corners of the fever swamp that is saying that this is like, you know, some kind of a conspiracy and they're trying to kill people. They're trying to kill them and all this because it's happening in these, you know, in Orange County and in Florida. You know, this can't be a coincidence. They're getting this nonsense from somewhere. So, there's that happening. And I don't think it's any, you know, mystery as to why Orange County and some of these conservative counties in California are leading the way with the new infections, because they basically just, they do not want to even acknowledge that this thing is going on. And I think for most of them, I mean, I got to say, I think it's Trump. I mean, I think he is out there pretty much saying it's over, that it was kind of a hoax to begin with, and that, you know, basically this is all, you know, a plot to deny him his reelection. And I think a lot of them have bought into that. I mean, you could hear it in Arizona this week when he was down there to give his speech to the megachurch, and they interviewed a bunch of the people in front of there, and that's exactly what they were saying. This is just, this thing is a hoax. You people are hypocritical. The media's, you know, trying to scare everybody. Masks don't work. They make you sick. I mean, all this stuff. So, you know, this is, and of course there was an article in the Washington Post this week that showed that people who listen to Sean Hannity, that his greatest, you know, where his ratings are the highest, is some of the highest infection rates. So, you know, there you have it.
Yeah, I hate to tweet my own. Toot my own horn, or tweet my horn. But Brendan, put up this. This is my prediction 3 months ago. It was a picture of Sean Hannity, how right wing pundits are covering coronavirus. March 11th, in 6 months, someone will create a graphic showing clusters of coronavirus deaths and how they correlate with high Fox News viewership. Fair enough. I was off by 3 months, although I don't think they had a graphic in that Washington Post piece, which basically took, there are multiple studies now showing this, right? I mean, there's one from University of Chicago, one from Harvard. Now granted, all, you know, egghead elites who are saying this, but all these studies, which show this. I mean, but this is, I mean, I'm trying to, I, you know, I'm, everything that we're talking about, right, seems very familiar in the sense that Donald Trump was able, you know, the Republican Party was able to turn on a dime and all of a sudden deficits are not relevant to them. I mean, that was literally their, you know, the only thing that mattered in terms of their politics in so many respects, right? And they were able to just sort of jettison that. And it was like, wow, they really like Donald Trump. It really only matters what he says. But with something like this, and I think there's, you know, there's some crossover with like anti-vax stuff too. But the anti-vax stuff, you know, it seems to me, you know, is a little bit transpartisan, as it were. At least I always perceived it as being, you know, sort of on the left and the right on some level, right?
It is, yeah. It is.
But this, I don't know if the anti-vaxxers on this, you know, nominal left, right, left of center, are supportive of this. But this feels like something like it's the pattern's the same, the dynamic's the same, but it feels like it's almost different in kind because. I mean, honestly, like I get being very skeptical of pharmaceutical companies, and I get the idea of like you're injecting something into my body. I can grasp the skepticism, right? And on some level. I don't share it, and I think it's very dangerous, et cetera, et cetera. But it's not. But like, what do they think a mask is going to do to them? When a sheriff says you're a sheeple for wearing a mask, like I just don't get. Like if I don't know, it's like if there was if we were being attacked by another country, you know, oh, you're building storing water, or you're fighting the enemy or whatever. Like I'm trying to come up with some type of analogy where it makes sense that they would have such a like intense, it's not skepticism, like just an intense reaction to the idea of wearing a mask when you're in public. Like, I just don't like,
well,
this seems to be like this, we've crossed over from like fans into really sort of like cultists, haven't we?
Absolutely. Yeah, yes, there is no doubt. I mean, in fact, I think on my blog, I put up, you know, the various clips of these people in Orange County and in Florida. And there's another one in Ventura County, a woman dressed in Trump regalia from head to toe, screaming some kind of incoherent nonsense about masks. And, you know, I said, now tell me this isn't a cult, because, you know, it is. You might as well be watching, this footage of a Mooney or some member of the Heaven's Gate cult or something. When you see these people saying this stuff, I mean, it's like a form of it feels as if it's some kind of brainwashing. Because it doesn't really make any sense. But when you look at it, I mean, the anti-science sort of strain on the right has been pretty strong for a long time. I think you can find some correlation. And in fact, from what I understand, some of the people who in the dark corners of the fever swamp who are pushing this idea that the virus is a hoax or that it's, you know, some kind of a plot, whatever that plot is, are among some of the people who are also climate denialists and climate change denialists. There is a, you know, I think there's a little bit of a through line there on the right with people with climate denialism and COVID denialism. The idea that you cannot trust scientists, that they're all lying to you, that this is a plot to bring you down. And I think Trump has made this pretty explicit, because the idea being that, and he said it out loud, they just want to keep the country closed down forever to deny me re-election. You know, this is the idea that there's a plot, some kind of an alternate agenda, a hidden agenda, with the scientists and with, you know, the sort of concern about the virus, is really something else. I mean, that seems to be something that they believe. As for the specifics on masks, they have developed an entire theory of masks that they're trying to hurt people by making them wear masks, and they will breathe in, you know, their exhale. And this is, you know, they say God made our Britain. They said this in all of them. I don't know where they're getting this, but all these clips, they say the same thing. God made our bodies to breathe the way it breathes. And you're telling me, you're trying to make me, you know, oppose the will of God by making me wear a mask, breathing in my, you know, the exhale. And in fact, I have a Facebook friend, somebody I went to high school with, who, you know, is complete nut. And he's on there saying that any medical person who wears a mask in the course of their treating anyone should have their license removed, because masks are bad no matter what, not just with COVID, not just walking around the street. That he's gone so far as to say that any wearing of a mask is bad, and any medical personnel who use one in any situation are, you know, promoting some kind of hidden agenda. I mean, it was very bizarre. I couldn't believe he said it. Well, I could, because he's that crazy. But you know, I mean, this is how far they're going, to sort of deep into this tribal cultist, you know, this rabbit hole that they're down. And I don't see how they can climb out. And fortunately, with the virus, the problem is that, you know, what is it? They say one person in a crowd can infect 20 people. And so, you know, what do you do about this? I mean, I'm stymied on how you, 'cause we have very little in the arsenal to protect people. This is not a perfect solution. Masks are just kind of a, you know, it's kind of a slapdash thing. We're just hoping that it will help, and it will. The evidence shows that if everybody did it, we could help a great deal. But if these people aren't observing that, they refuse to stop, you know, to socially distance and, you know, do the sort of rudimentary kind of mitigation strategies, we've got a problem. I mean,
we're there already. I mean, this is the thing, is that, like, you and I have had conversations like this for 15 years, and we talk about, you know, this lunacy or that lunacy on the right, and we've never had such a clear one-to-one causal connection between that lunacy, and to see the sort of the extent of that lunacy and the power of that lunacy. I mean, that lunacy is driving what could very well be a massive catastrophe in Arizona, could very well be a massive catastrophe in Texas, maybe in Florida, maybe in parts of California. And I mean, like, we're like this isn't a fringe. This is mainstream enough that they have governors of some of the biggest states in the country doing their bidding, like kowtowing to them, like that sheriff who's up in, you know, Northwest Washington, or, you know, Southwest Washington State, wherever it was, you know, going around like, shake my hand, man. I'm just saying that, you know, you wear a mask, it's sheeple. And here's the other thing, like, you know, I got news for you, folks. God did not make these glasses. Or at the very least, I saw the guy, you know, I went to the eye doctor, and, you know, I think they made these at Lens Crafters. And that helps me see. Like, well, I mean, presumably God made the ability of humans to make a mask and know when to wear it and when not to. Like, but I know that's a small point, but I feel like we've never had an example of the lunacy having such a direct and immediate impact, right? Like, the lunacy is like, we can measure this in weeks. We can measure this in infections, and I mean, hopefully, maybe not, you know, as many deaths, but I get the sense that the deaths in this situation are, you know, they're a lagging indicator, but I have a feeling that they're going to be even more lagging because of, you know, it's not like the virus basically says, like, well, we've chewed up as many 20, 30 year olds as we want. We're going to leave the 40, 50, 60, 70 year olds alone. That doesn't happen, right? Like, at one point, like, we may not have the same measure of commingling between, you know, the 20 to 40 cohort as, like, you know, in between, like, the, as there is, you know, 20 to 40 may not commingle as much with 50 and 60 year olds as a 40 year old will, or a 45 year old, et cetera, et cetera. But at one point it crosses that divide, and it, you know, maybe those folks are more, you know, cautious, and maybe they're not in these areas. And then it's Johnny ball game at that point. Right. I mean, you know,
well, we all live, same country. I mean, whether we like it or not, there's going to be some crossover between the generations. I mean, you can't, I think older people are taking, you know, better precautions now that they know. I mean, I know I am. But compared to the early days when nobody knew what was going on, I think nursing homes are probably being more, you know, cautious and taking precautions. But the truth is that even young people, if they get this thing, it's really a crapshoot. This is a very, very ugly disease. If you get it and you get it bad, and you know, it does happen that, and, you know, that certain demographics, certain, you know, populations here in California, the Latino population is being hit way harder than anybody else. And that's happening. Almost all the deaths among people under the age of 34 have been Latino in this state. And you know, this is it's just a matter of the health situations, certain health issues that, you know, even if you're young, you can be hit hard. And, you know, you're an essential worker, you're working at some warehouse, or you're, you know, going to, you know, you check out groceries or whatever, and you're 25 years old, and you can get it too. And you know, I don't think anybody should want anyone to get this thing, because you just don't know how it's going to affect you, and they don't know what the long-term effects are. So, I mean, that's just nuts. And even beyond that, look, of course it's a lagging indicator. Like you said, that 25% of California's cases happened in the last 2 weeks. Well, it takes a while for people to get really sick, to get sick, then they get into the hospital, then they, you know, go through the whole process, which we observed the horror of it in New York already. So we know exactly what happens. There may be some better treatments, but there's no therapeutic drug. You know, nobody injecting, you know, ingesting bleach isn't going to help you. So, you know, that same thing is going to happen. It just takes a while. I mean, I hope I'm wrong, but I feel pretty confident that we're going to see the mortality rate rise. And, you know, the president out there, he said last night on Sean Hannity, he tweeted, he's very proud of the mortality rate in the United States. We have a great mortality rate. I mean, we're among the best in the world. It's 125,000 people are dead in the last 4 months. Any leader who would be out there bragging about something like that, as if that is a huge accomplishment and he's done something really great. I mean, it boggled my mind to hear him do that. I thought, he never mentions the dead in any kind of a normal fashion that any leader would, you know, with any empathy, with any sense that there's some kind of great loss going on. 125,000 people, you know, I hear epidemiologists saying, yeah, well, we're looking probably 250,000 could be by the end of the year. And, you know, Trump is out there touting that as a measure of his success. And I find it absolutely, you know, mind-boggling that this guy is, you know, still revered by as many people as he is. And of course, you know, from the polling that we've seen this in the last few days, particularly that New York Times poll, but also, you know, there's been several others that are indicating that he's losing, especially one of his most loyal demographics, which is people over 65. I don't think they appreciate that.
No.
I don't think they appreciate hearing him brag about all the deaths. I really don't, because, you know, it's hitting them and people they know. I mean, if you're over 65, you know somebody who's died probably, or know of somebody who's died. And, you know, I don't think they're not happy about it. I mean, he's actually starting to lose that demographic, which is just, I mean, he's screwed.
Yeah. I think that last point, I certainly know of at least two people who have passed who are over the age of 65, from COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew them personally. And I'm not that age, right? I mean, these are friends of my parents. I would imagine that's the case across the country, and it certainly will be increasingly. And so the idea that people aren't taking it seriously is going to mean a lot more to people who know about it. I think that's also happening in the Black community. I had a story today. One out of three Black Americans are aware of someone who died of COVID-19. But you also mentioned, like, you know, the implications of what happens with kids. There was a story out today in, it was yesterday, in Nature magazine, suggesting that there is mounting evidence suggesting that coronavirus might trigger diabetes, like spontaneous diabetes almost. And there's a whole host. I think, you know, we're not going to know, I think, for quite some time, frankly, the long-term implications of this disease on other people. But I mean, you know, as they grow older, I'm just so amazed at, you know, we've talked about this for a while, like, you know, the idea that Donald Trump is going to go away, and at least in the context of our relationship with the rest of the world, they would be there. Things aren't going to, you know, immediately snap back. It's going to take a couple of generations, because people are like, you guys elected Donald Trump. Even if you you only made him a one-term president, there's still something broken in your country. And and this, you know, I mean, like, really? Like, you gotta, like, the EU is basically gonna open up and not invite Americans in. And it is, you know, beyond a rational decision on their part. I mean, you know, like, I mean, we're not even trying as a country. We're not even trying to deal with this pandemic. And it's just, it's shocking. And there's a whole host of other things that, you know, the federal government is refusing to help with. I was talking today about school. Like, you know, right now across the country, parents who have kids in elementary schools and middle schools and high schools, they are undoubtedly, like my experience, you know, having taking a survey or reading about potential options for the fall. We may do 3 days on, 2 days off. We may do 2 days on, 2 days off. We may do half day here, half day there. We may do once a week, whatever it is. And this is like, I mean, I people have to work, and you're making parents choose if they either A, parents have no choice. And it's just like, okay, kids, you know, here's the computer. If we're fortunate enough to have one, because a lot of these kids are in families, particularly in the context of New York, but around the country, they don't have the technology that they need. Sometimes the schools are offering it and sometimes they're not. But they don't necessarily have Wi-Fi. If you don't have a computer, you know, why would you have Wi-Fi? Maybe folks who just, you know, use their phones. The problems range from that to folks who have to make a decision, you know, do I work or do I take care of my kid and make sure that my kid gets a decent education? I mean, you got elementary school kids who are learning the basics, and it's very hard to do online. Very hard to do without, you know, and particularly without having someone there the entire time sitting with you and directing that. And if you've got a full-time job, you can't do that. I mean, the myriad of problems here in the federal government is doing nothing. Nothing. It's insanity. It's full-on insanity. And
the states aren't doing much either. Ron DeSantis yesterday just signed some school choice bill like that. You know, yeah, well, we'd like to be able to choose school, but they're, you know, what are you talking about? Why are you doing this right now? So, you know, there is absolutely, and I get how each place may need to have, you know, specific solutions specific to their situation. An inner city school isn't going to be the same as a suburban school or a rural school. And there's different requirements for elementary kids and high school kids. And, you know, it's all going to be, you know, very complicated. Let's put it that way. You know, teachers are all sitting there going, hey, you know, I'd prefer not to die. Thanks. You know, and the kids, they need to go to school. I mean, this is a terrible situation, but look, other places who did this right, who managed to find a way, you know, through, you know, solid messaging among everybody, which is really one of the keys, they say. I mean, I read about this all day long. You know, public health people say, look, one of the keys is, number one, you have to have trust in the people who are telling you things. Most people have to trust what they're hearing, which, of course, in the case of our federal government is impossible because we have the, you know, an incompetent boob running the country who says maybe we should try to drink bleach. So you need that. You need trust, and you need consistent messaging, and you need people saying, you know, the same thing everywhere. This is what you need to do, which, you know, it can even change over as you learn more about what's going on in whatever the situation is. You can change whatever. If there's trust there, people will believe that, and they will, you know, they won't think it was a plot or some kind of a, you know, a mistake or a conspiracy. But we've had none of that. I mean, we've got people, even within the Trump administration, there are now people, you know, saying different things. You've got the president out there saying, you know, it's all, we're just going to put out the embers, even though the whole country's on fire at the moment. And then you've got Fauci out there today saying something's gone terribly wrong and we've got to, you know, try and do something different. So they're talking about doing this, what do they call it, pool testing. which means that you take a group of, you take 20 people, you know, you take 100 people and you take 20 tests, five groups of 20 tests, and you test within that, you test that that group of 20 together. If there's no virus in it, then you discard that, and you only, you know, then look more deeply at the people where the virus comes up. I may not be understanding that very, very well, but in any case, that's what he's proposing, that we change to that, because they're not capturing enough of the cases. It's clear that it's running completely out of control now. In fact, virtually all the states, you know, are starting to you know, the cases are increasing. Now, yep. It's not, I mean, it's the worst in places like California and Texas and Florida and Arizona, that whole Sun Belt down there, but it's everywhere now. I mean, it's going up everywhere. And even New York is going to have to be very, very careful here, because they're showing a very slight uptick. And, you know, people are out again, aren't they? Well, and they're starting to, we saw those pictures.
There's two things. There's two things.
Standing outside drinking together, you know.
You know, we're not going to know the implications, as far as I know, to the extent that there's contact tracing going on in New York. My understanding is that de Blasio, I don't know if this was changed, but the last I heard, they're not going to ask if you were at a protest, right? So we're not going to have a sense of whether or not it is ridiculous. And we're not going to have a sense of whether that contributed to it. But yes, I think, you know, there's a lot more sort of like, you know, people getting loosey goosey with this stuff. I think we're up in so-called phase four, or just about to get to phase four. New York, I think, just about to get to phase three, the city. The rest of the state, not all of it, but a significant portion of it's phase four, which is like, you know, basically the last phase. And I personally, I think you should not be allowed to go into any building or store or anywhere without a mask. This, I get this email from somebody who lives in Central Florida. She said it's a very red town, about 20 minutes outside of Orlando. A few days ago, the mayor of Orange County issued an executive order mandating masks in public places. Since this order was mandated, I've seen the most anti-mask zealots in my community message board post things like, since we all have to wear masks now, does anyone know where I can get a Trump 2020 mask? She said she's giddy to see these type of posts because her daughter is a newly diagnosed diabetic. They've been nervous about going around and no one was wearing masks. She said, in the 2 weeks leading up to the executive order, my significant other who would wear a mask was met with aggressive harassment every time he went out. That include being called a pussy, people getting uncomfortably close while asking him why he was wearing a mask, and people literally coughing on him. Just getting groceries and prescriptions had become a harrowing endeavor and source of stress. So they said, she says, mask compliance has gone from about 2% to almost 50%. And so, you know, you don't even have to do too much other than just say, like, you got to do this. And undoubtedly, going from 2 to 50% is going to cut down on the transmission. Yeah. Of course. I mean, of course. It's so basic.
I noticed the same thing in my neighborhood when, like I said, 2 weeks ago, you know, everything was opening up and I was seeing people in restaurants and bars and running around. Nobody was wearing masks, or at least, you know, a lot of people weren't wearing masks. And Newsom, the governor here, he mandated masks now. You can't go out in public without one. And of course, you know, some people are flouting it because what are they going to do? You know, haul you off to jail? That's when they know that's not going to happen. But I did see a massive increase in people wearing masks again in the last week or so from where it was 2 weeks ago. So it helped. If they say, if, you know, if the authorities say, hey, you need to do this, you know, some people go, oh, okay, you know, I guess I should, you know, for some reason they can't make that decision on their own and understand voluntarily understand the concept behind it. But when they're told, you know, some people do it. And I wear the Trump 2020 mask, you know, wear the I'm a snowflake, you know, whatever it is, right. You know, you want to put on your mask, have at it, just wear one.
That's the thing, is I think, you know, I can understand why people are, you know, reluctant to do it when it hasn't been made official, because there's this presumption of, like, if it really was important, they would tell us to do it. And the president wouldn't be out there saying it doesn't matter. But Well, listen, Digby, we didn't get a chance to talk about what's happening. Joe Biden's obviously, the numbers are going up. I think this coronavirus is definitely a function of it. You know, in places like Georgia and Florida and Texas, I mean, these numbers have gone up since April. And we're seeing numbers now that, like, I think it's unlikely he's going to win in a place like Georgia, although it's possible, maybe North Carolina. Texas, I think it's unlikely, but, you know, the polling is tightening. I think on some level, we're getting a better sense that, like, you know, only there's 30 to 35 to 40% of our American population who are authoritarian. The irony is they're the sheep, right? Like,
right.
I mean, that's... You know, you're going to listen to this guy who says don't wear a mask in the face of a pandemic. I got news for you. You know, look in the mirror if you're looking for the sheep. We also didn't get a chance to talk about the big progressive wins this week. Maybe we'll, you know, in a couple of weeks, we'll have a better sense.
We'll know more next week.
Yeah, that's true. So, in the meantime, thank you so much for the time today. I really appreciate it. Folks can check out what you've been writing over at Hullabaloo and on Salon.com. It's always a pleasure, Heather.
Thanks for having me, Sam. I appreciate it.
All right. We're going to take a break, folks. And when we come back, supposedly on the line, we will have...
He's on Zoom, so I don't know if we want to take
a
break. Yeah.
Oh, okay. He's on Zoom. All right. That's fine. Then bring him on. I didn't know. I thought he was going to call into the phone system. But apparently he's on Zoom. Here he is.
I'm losing it, bro.
I guess he is. Here he is. Let's bring him on. It's John Benjamin. Did he not know how to do this? I mean, what's
going on? He looks like he's connected by microphone, but not by video yet. So.
Oh, by video. Yeah. Does he not know how to work it?
Appears that he might not know how to work it.
Oh, this guy. Do you want to give him a phone? It just says wait to him now. That's what.
Oh, okay. That might be an internet problem.
Hold on. Wait, did you send him the link to the phone system?
Brendan? I sent him a Zoom link because that's what we've been doing on Fridays.
Oh, all right. Let's send him a... Send him a link to the phone system.
Okay.
In that case, we can take a break if you want to.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, he just entered the waiting room again.
He did? Oh, my God. Let's see if we can get him on.
All right.
Oh, this guy.
It's fitting for the, you know, the sound drop.
John, are you there? Oh, my God.
I'm losing it, bro.
Yeah, I guess you are. John, hang up your phone. I'm going to send you a different link if you can hear me. All right, kick him out. Hang up on that guy. God. So irritating. Jesus.
Okay.
He's old. He doesn't know how to do these things. He doesn't know how to do any of this stuff. Let's take a phone call. Shall we?
Sure.
In the meantime, and then we'll hopefully you get calling from a 308 area code. Who's this? Where are you calling from? Oh my God. 308.
Hey.
Hey.
Am I here?
Yeah, you're here.
Oh, cool. It's Nebraska calling from Kowalski.
Nebraska calling from Kowalski.
Surprised.
There you go. What's happening, Kowalski from Nebraska?
Well, I wanted to discuss a couple things with you. I got your Soros check. Yeah, apparently it got routed to me.
Great.
So I'm going to send you an email so I can reroute you all this Soros money.
Appreciate it.
Not sure how that keeps happening. Yeah, those are getting really wild on social media. It would be funny if it wasn't so detrimental to the, you know, Republic. But anywho, wanted to tell you one thing about masks and then something about mail-in elections. So, masks. I have not been bothered with it yet, but my roommate had, who is a much smaller person, and he found the easiest way to get people to leave you alone is to say you tested positive for corona. They'll back away.
All right. It's hilarious.
He was like, yeah, he was getting harassed about it, and he was like, oh, well, I tested positive, so, I mean, that's why I'm wearing it. They'll just leave you alone.
All right, fair enough. That's a good idea.
Yeah.
If you're getting grief for wearing a mask. How is it in Nebraska?
Where I'm at, things are, well, more or less stable. My sister-in-law said that they're getting more cases lately, but they're less severe. Lincoln and Omaha, though, it's starting to get fairly bad. Their hospital beds are filling up pretty quick. Mm. They might actually have to start moving some people towards us. But stable for now, I guess. But, yeah. Probably not going to pan out very well, especially once the holiday gets here.
Yeah. All right. Well,
but
what else?
The election. I was just going to say mail-in ballots. I think that is a distraction from them just wanting to purge the voter rolls, because mail-in ballots would disproportionately affect people in rural America, especially the farm community. Because if you did that in Iowa, Trump would lose the election because nobody's going to stop in the middle of harvest to go vote, and nobody's going to be able to do the primaries if they're in planting season. I'm pretty sure it's just a screen to purge the voter rolls.
Interesting. Huh.
That would be my perspective, and I would be looking for.
So you think that he'd be in big trouble in places like Iowa if there was mail-in?
Iowa, Michigan, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Minnesota, he would be killing himself. Not a single person in the rural areas would have time to go do anything. You're talking the busiest season of the year. I mean, you cannot put harvest off. As soon as snow falls, you're screwed.
So wait a second. I'm unclear on what you're saying. Mail-in would help him in these places.
No, mail-in would help him because that's the only in Nebraska. Our mail-in voting is very, very easy because you don't have to give an explanation as to why you want to do it. I get my ballot 40 days before
the election.
Sorry,
Kowalski, you cut out. Your point is that mail-in would help him.
Yes, mail-in helps him because that's the only way rural people can vote. So in the swing districts that have a lot of rural population, like Iowa, like Minnesota, yeah, like Wisconsin, where it was a fringe victory for him, it would be terrible for him,
which is
why I think it's a distraction in order to just purge the voter rolls.
I don't understand how that works. What do you mean it's a distraction to just purge the voter rolls?
Well, while everyone's, you know, worried about mail-in ballots, people will be able to just purge their voter rolls, you know, get rid of people with certain names that, you know, insinuate a certain affiliation.
I think people are paying attention to those attempts too, though. I mean, I think he's worried about mail-in ballots for the reason you're talking about. Maybe, in broadly speaking, he thinks that if more people vote, he's going to lose. But we'll see. Kowalski, appreciate the phone call.
All right, I'll send you that check. Goodbye.
Thank you. Everybody can send me a check if they want. That's great. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I think on the phone now we should have, if he's figured it out, John Benjamin. John, are you there?
Am I on?
Yeah, you're on.
Am I on?
Yeah, you're on.
Oh, wow. Oh, good. Thanks for helping me out.
Thanks for helping you out. I'm not sure I follow.
To get on. I couldn't get on before based on the most simplest of instructions. And now you made it even simpler, and then I got on.
You're not very good with this technology stuff, are you, John?
I usually don't call into radio shows, but I'm competent enough. I got on, right?
Yeah, you're on, and you sound good.
The problem is you didn't make it very easy for me in the beginning.
I think we did.
I clicked the link and it didn't connect me.
Well, I mean,
so I feel like
we saw you on the screen. We saw John's iPhone. Do you have an iPhone?
I do.
Yeah. All right.
I do. And I was pressing I was pressing buttons feverishly for like 3 or 4 minutes, right? And nothing was happening.
Well, that's, I mean, did you hear me playing this?
I'm losing it, bro.
Are you playing it?
Yeah. I'm playing it.
Oh, good.
I'm losing it, bro.
Yeah.
John, tell me the context.
Oh, good, because that's... You...
Well, just...
The concept?
The context in which you were saying that. Like, what is that supposed to mean?
Well, I basically, you know, I want, like... You know, this is, like, pretty heady times, and I was trying to figure out something to do about it,
mm-hmm.
how I could help in about, you know, in my own limited way. And I wanted to do something. And so I, earlier this week, I recorded, myself saying, I'm losing it, bro. And I think it's pretty general. Like, it's kind of tapping into the way a lot of people feel right now about everything that's going on. So I recorded myself saying it. And like I said, I think it resonates now more than ever. And then I sent it to you, to play on your show, you know, so that we could, you know, maybe if you play it, then I thought we could make t-shirts, using the phrase, I'm losing it, bro, because of, like I said, because it's, you know, taps into the zeitgeist, and then we could sell them.
Yeah.
And
in fact, here is an example. We have done that. It is now in the, you can now go and pre-order a limited edition.
Yeah.
I'm losing it, bro. T-shirt. We're putting it on there with the Majority Report logo. That's at shop.majorityreportradio.com. You can go in and find that link. You can get that from the homepage too, though, right? Yeah. So there it is. It says, I'm losing it, bro, with an exclamation point. And then on the arm there, you can see, it says, the Majority Report, and, it's $25. And
yeah, I think that's great.
And all the,
and then I figured that what we could do is probably do like a 50-50 split of the profits. And, you know, you take half obviously because you have the platform, and I take half because I came up with the idea.
I was under the impression that we were going to donate all the proceeds to the Skid Row Housing Trust in LA for it is you can find that Brendan, put that up here. You can it's skidrow.org. It is, helps folks who are unhoused. Wait.
That was a bit of an ambush. I was under the impression that we hadn't, wait, what?
Well, we're don't
like what?
You weren't doing this to make money for yourself, was it?
Well, for us. I mean, and I sent the clip to a lot of radio stations and podcasts.
You sent.
Like I sent the clip.
I sent the clip
to like probably over 200 radio stations across the country.
You sent that clip to over 200 radio stations across the country.
Yeah, you were the only one that got back to me about it.
Well, I thought it was for charity.
Well, I never said that. But I guess you're saying it now, and that changes my perspective a little bit. But I didn't know. I didn't make that arrangement. I was like, didn't I send you an email? Because I had a form email I sent to almost, I don't remember.
I didn't read the email. I mean, I don't read stuff from you. I mean, I just assumed. You're marginally
Most of my work and my writing I do to get paid, probably just like you're doing this, right?
You've been marginally successful at your, you know, little cartoon things that you do. And I just assumed that you said, I'm doing this to give back.
Well, I said I was doing it to do something about this moment. I didn't say it was like And yeah, I guess technically it's, well, I'm, well, giving, I don't understand, back.
What does you profiting from a t-shirt do for this moment?
Well, sharing an idea and a concept with everybody and then, you know, getting paid for it. But I see your point about maybe I would definitely do the thing about the giving it away now that you bring it up.
It didn't occur to you before? I mentioned it. I mean, the...
I think it's a fine idea to give the, you know, part or all of the money to...
Well, I think we should do all the money, all the proceeds,
yeah,
from this limited edition t-shirt.
Well,
and we're going to do it. We're going to do pre-orders.
All minus like maybe the administrative costs of having, you know, having what I've done already, like recording it and using my, and that time that it took and then sending out all the emails.
The time that it took to record this?
I'm losing it, bro.
It's 2.3 seconds long.
Well, yeah, but that wasn't the only take.
You did a bunch of takes? How many takes did you do?
I also recorded I'm losing it, girl. So for ladies, for the t-shirt, we could also do one more for women. Even though it kind of doesn't matter because bro is a pretty common term used by everybody, but we could do I'm losing it, girl, would be also an idea.
I'm losing it, girl. And so, okay, so that's 4.6 seconds. And how much do you feel like you should get paid for that?
Well, like I said, if we print out I'm losing it, girl, it might be a good idea to split the profits on I'm losing it, girl, and give all the proceeds to charity from I'm losing it, bro.
Why would it be girl and not sis?
My ideal is girl just because it's more like colloquial, common. Sis is weird.
Okay. Well, we can look into that, but I don't know if I want to set up more t-shirts. I mean, we've got this limited edition. We're going to do it for 3 weeks, and all the proceeds are going to go to help this organization in L.A., skidrow.org. It is the Skid Row Housing Trust. They basically provide permanent supportive housing. So the people who've experienced homelessness, prolonged extreme poverty, poor health, disabilities, mental illness, and or addiction can lead safe, stable lives in wellness.
Yeah, I can always like come up with other ideas and sell them separately as well, like my own shirts. I could get an online website, and I'll work on that this week.
What would be some of your other ideas of your catchphrases? Because this one, I feel like you've probably...
I'm losing it, bro.
You've probably peaked with that one because everybody's sort of losing it, and it's like you're telling, you know, just everybody you're losing it.
Yeah, I mean, I off the cuff, I would be like, I don't know. There's a million ideas out there that would.
You there?
Crazy times.
All right, say it again.
Yeah?
You broke up for a second.
I said this. Like maybe one that says, like, crazy times, huh? With a question mark.
Crazy times, huh? That would be the t-shirt that you'd want to put out there? Crazy times, huh?
Well, that's just one idea. I'm saying I'll come up with new ideas, like I said, next week. If I put me on the spot,
you're going to come up with new ideas next week. Well, you're not going to take the weekend off from coming up with great lines like "I'm losing it, bro."
"I'm losing it, bro" is like really good. You played it on your show, which is, you know, because you liked it.
Did any of the other 200 radio stations that you sent it to, any of them play it?
Well, like I said, not everybody has gotten back to me yet, but so far you're the only show that is using the clip so far that I know of.
When you say not everybody has gotten back to you, what you mean is no one has gotten back to you except for me.
Right. Right, so far, but it's only been a week.
A week, okay.
Like I said, I came up with this I came up with this whole thing on Monday, so, and things are moving a little more slowly now.
Right. All right.
But like next month, you know, next week, I'll come up with more. We can make more t-shirts and then talk about a different profit structure.
A different profit structure. Okay. In the meantime, though, folks can go to shop.majorityreportradio.com and pick up this limited edition I'm Losing It Bro Majority Report t-shirt. And we will give the proceeds, 100% of the proceeds to this organization. 100%, you know, over cost.
No, I'm totally like, now that you say what you just said, I'm totally in favor of that. And I love that idea. That's a very good idea to help out that organization. And I should probably think about doing that more as I come up with more ideas about for t-shirts.
Yeah, maybe you should. I mean, are you able to work through this? Are you doing that? What is that? That cartoon that you're on? A cartoon?
Maybe I should make a t-shirt that says Majority Reports Sucks.
Well, I don't get that.
I mean, like, I don't know. I think people might like that.
I mean, I don't think they would. I don't get what the hook is.
I don't know, for people who don't like your show.
But how would I advertise that? How would I reach those people?
Through your website.
But I mean, if they don't like the show, why would they listen to the show and hear me selling those t-shirts?
People who hate listen, like I do.
You hate listen to the show?
Sometimes.
All right. How often? How often do you hate listen to the show? That I could sell you a t-shirt that says the Majority Report sucks.
How often do I?
Yeah.
Like once a day.
So you listen every day to the show because you hate it so much?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what hate listening and hate watching is. You really get into it.
And so you would probably be one of the first people who would buy a Majority Report Socks t-shirt.
I don't know. That was, like I said, it was just an idea. We don't necessarily have to print that one.
Okay. Yeah, I probably will take a pass on that.
Fine.
All right.
Fine.
Maybe I would do how about John Benjamin with a van sucks. How about that?
I mean, I don't even think many people, first of all, it's been off the air for like 9 years.
Well, so
not many people knew about that.
How about then I could just add, and the truth hurts.
Just and the truth hurts is a good t-shirt.
Maybe we could do that one. Well, for the meantime, we have this.
I'm losing it, bro.
This is the shirt that we're selling. We're doing the pre-orders on I'm Losing It Bro Majority Report. It is the John Benjamin. I'll give you that honor. It's the John Benjamin limited edition Majority Report t-shirt.
All proceeds going to
skidrow.org.
The organization you mentioned.
Yep. Well, John,
and none to me.
And none to John Benjamin. I promise that. I will make this vow. Right. You will see not a dime of that.
Oh, well, I mean, we gave it a shot.
All right. Well, good try. Next time, better luck. John Benjamin, thank you so much for your time today. I really appreciate it.
No problem. We'll be listening in tomorrow.
Well, tomorrow's Saturday, so it's going to be pretty tame,
right,
show.
I'll go into the archives.
All right. Well, Appreciate that. He's going to go into the archives and listen to the show. John Benjamin, ladies and gentlemen. John Benjamin of
I'm Losing It Bro
fame. So head over, go pre-order that shirt. All the proceeds go to skidrow.org. Great organization that is helping folks who are unhoused in L.A. Big problem with housing in L.A. And obviously very difficult during COVID-19. Very few opportunities for folks living on the streets to socially distance, to get health care, really important. So, John Benjamin rarely has a good idea, but occasionally he stumbles onto a couple. And this was one of them. So let's do that. Everybody head over there. We will put a link to the page in our YouTube description, and we will put a link to our ads for today, and then we're going to head into the fun half. Just a reminder, this show relies on its listeners for its support. You can become a member at jointhemajorityreport.com. If you're one of those folks who want to listen but don't have the financial resources, send us an email, majorityreporters@gmail.com. Have some patience. We will get to it. Just inundated right now. And so we're working our way through these emails. If you haven't heard from us in a while, maybe your email got lost, so you can resend it. Don't forget AM Quickie. You can listen to that, amquickie.com. Obviously, we've got other merch over at shop.majorityreportradio.com and justcoffee.coop, fair trade coffee, tea, or chocolate. Use the coupon code majority, get 10% off. Check out TMBS this week, the Michael Brooks Show, on patreon.com, the Michael Brooks Show, and youtube.com, the Michael Brooks Show, TMBS. Matt, who is on this week? Matt will join us in a moment.
I'm right back. Yeah, I'm here. Who did we have on this week? I think we had Ronan Burtonshaw. We had a few people. Blanking on who we had this week.
And check out the No Me Key Show. You can find that on patreon.com. The No Me Key Show, and also on youtube.com, The No Me Key Show. She also did a great roundup of the races on Tuesday night with I hopped onto that for a little bit, but some really knowledgeable people, like on the ground, people who have campaigned in New York, and to get a sense of the sort of those dynamics. I find that stuff fascinating. So check that out. Also, the Antifada, Jamie's somewhere. I don't know where she is, in a tent somewhere, but they cut a couple of episodes for this week, and check it out. Patreon.com/TheAntifada. And of course, Matt is taking that CBD and streaming on Twitch. Are you still there, Matt? I think his connection went out. Well, check out Literary Hangover on its Twitch TV, twitch.tv/literary hangover. Brendan, can you take us to the fun half?
I certainly can.
All right. Well, let's do that. We'll head to the fun half.
Left is best.
Jamie and I may have a disagreement.
Yeah, you can't just say whatever you want about people just because you're rich.
I have an absolute right to mock them on YouTube.
He's up there buggy whipping like he's the boss.
I am not your employer.
You know, I'm tired of the negativity.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to upset you. You're nervous, you're a little bit upset, you're riled up.
Yeah, maybe you should rethink your defense of that, you fucking idiots.
We're just going to get rid of you.
All right.
But dude. You want to smoke this joint?
Yes.
Do you feel like you are a dinosaur?
Good shit.
Exactly. I'm happy now.
It's a win-win.
It's a win-win-win.
Oh, hell yeah.
Now listen to me. 2, 3, 4, 5 times. 847-906-501-457. 2, 38, 56, 27. 1/2, 5/8, 3.9 billion.
Wow.
He's the ultimate math nerd,
don't you see?
Why don't you get a real job instead of spewing vitriol and hatred, you left-wing Limbaugh?
Everybody's taking their dumb juice today.
Come on, Sammy!
Dance, dance, dance.
Ooh.
my first post-coital scene with a woman. I'm hoping to add more moves to my repertoire. All I have is the dip and the swirl.
Fine, we can double dip.
Yes, this is a perfect moment.
No.
Wait, what?
You make under $1 million a year. You're scum. You're nothing.
Excuse me? Fuck you, you fucking liberal elite. I think you belong in jail.
Thank you for saying that, Sam. You're a horrible, despicable person.
All right, gonna take a quick break. I want to take a moment to talk to some of the libertarians out there. Take whatever vehicle you want to drive to the library. What you're talking about is jibber jabber.
Classic. I'm feeling more chill already. Good.
Donald Trump can kiss all of our asses.
Hey, Sam. Hey, Andy. Are you guys ready to do some evil?
Hitler was such an idiot.
I think I might be a Nazi.
Agree.
No.
Death to America.
You.
Yes.
Wow.
Wow, that's weird. No way! Unbelievable. This guy's got a really good hook.
Throw our hands up.
Wow.
But Sam, I gotta get off.
No worries. Let's I wanna just flesh this out a little bit. I mean, look, it's a free speech issue. If you don't like me,
Hey, shut up.
Thank you for calling into the Majority Report. Sam will be with you shortly.